So, speaking to Jericho this week, and she didn't mean to, but she said something. She asked me a question that created a homework assignment for you. Amen. The year of accomplishment. She asked me, do you feel that you've accomplished this year? And I said, yes. Not what I expected or had in mind, but I've accomplished quite a bit, yes. And I said, what about you? And she didn't respond until the next day. But when she did respond, she said, I didn't respond right away because I needed to think about it. And yes, I have accomplished. And I said, would you be willing to share? And she said, yes, I would. So before I let her share, the homework is sit down and make a list of what you've accomplished this year. Because in this message of protecting the seed, and this is what this message was birthed out for me, was me looking at my goals versus the process that God walked me as and is walking me to achieve those goals. Did I lose anybody? The things we spoke, and if you look at, well, I spoke this, but I'm still not there, and you've heard me say it, you go to the mall, you look at the sign, you are here, you need to know that to know how far you've come. And sometime in pursuit of arriving, you miss the journey and what you've learned and how far you've come in the process. And then I took you to, well, there's the seed, the spoken word, then there's the prenatal and germination process where your faith is being developed to be able to reach that final goal or destiny. Watch what I'm about to say and keep it. The church is full of people who have momentary victories. The Bible talks about those kind of people. It's like it's a man gathering up wealth to put it in a bag with holes in it. It slips right out. So you come and we have these prayers. Oh, I want to praise God for all this. And then I see you a month and a half later and you're talking about the marshals at the door. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, wait a minute. You just said you had this huge victory. What happened to the victory? God changed his mind? The scripture said to bless the Lord without turning or shadow of repentance. What's up with the repentance here? The blessings of the Lord are yea and amen. All his promises. So what happened that it was this blessing and now you don't know where you are? And what I begin to realize about you and myself is we get caught up in the emotion of the moments. And that's when God gave me the word. Keep your eye on the prize, not on the prizes. Right. Right. Like me and you made a covenant to take you to a certain place. And all the little sprinkles of blessing that I give you on the way, you want to stop and park there. And let's make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Elijah and one for Jesus. And let's stay here. And God, like, I never intended you. This is my son, hear ye him, was his response to that. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Listen to me. You too. Hey, stop chatting over there. Pay attention to me. Listen to me was his response to them. Don't get caught up in the miracle you just saw and decide this is where we stay. Now, you got to understand something about the statement and about that story that's huge. I pay close attention to statements in the Spirit of God and in the kingdom of God. They saw Jesus transfigured. They saw him talking to who? Moses and Elijah. Okay, so wait a minute. People they never met, but only heard about, yet they knew who they were looking at. Now, they didn't have Instagram back then. I don't think they had pictures running around of Moses and Elijah for them to see. You follow what I'm saying? So they had to know by the Spirit who they saw talking to Jesus. You need to pay attention to what I'm saying right here, right now. It had to be discerned by God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to them who Jesus was up there transfigured talking to. See, that's what I said. We just throw these stories away. They just get so minute in our minds, we don't see the depth of it. They had to get a revelation from God. They had to have a spiritual moment that one, they were able to see in the spirit and see two men from the dead standing there talking to their Savior. That's number one. Number two, they had to have a revelation or quickening in the spirit to know who he was talking to. So the spirit was high at that moment. The anointing was heavy on them at that moment. They had to be swept up into things that, are you feeling what I'm saying right now? So of course, their first reaction was, this is good. They said, oh, this is good. Let's build tabernacles. They were like, yo, did you see? This is good. Let's stay right here. Why? Because by experience, that was better than anything in the natural they probably had ever experienced at that time. Whoo. Yo. And God speaks. Even in all of that climax of moment, all that excitement in the spirit, all of this heavy revelation that they just saw and says, this is my son. Don't get caught up in the moment. Just listen to him. I don't care how deep and how spiritual it is and what a blessing it was and what it felt like at that moment. I need you to listen to him. Listen to him. Keep walking. Keep following. Enjoy the moment. Make a note of it. But you can't stay here. And that was their thing. Let's stay here. If we can have these kind of moments every day, we should just stay right here. And he said, no, you don't. You still keep moving. Move back into your ordinary moments now. Because we're not finished. See, that's a drop the mic and the message walk out the room moment right there. Message done. And I'm just beginning. Oh, it's going to get deep today. Now, I'm paying attention to in this time of my life, as I'm saying to you, listen to me close, I'm learning this. Not saying that I've comprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the mark of the high calling. I'm learning as I'm teaching you. And some places being reminded, some places being rebuked, and some places being strengthened and pushed forward, that your seed is here, but now it has to go through the process to get you to the ultimate destiny. So when wonderful things happen in this process, don't get caught in the wonderful things. Now, when God speaks to me and begin to speak to me about accomplishment, in light of what I'm sharing with you, he said, I gave you something. Your spirit was illuminated by it. Ooh, this is great. But you knew not to say stay here. But then you start to begin to build little cities around what I said. And you begin to create all kinds of scenarios and situations in your mind and in your own human spirit around the seed. And somewhere in the process of creating this new city, got distracted from the ultimate goal that we talked about. Am I talking to somebody? Okay. So what have you accomplished? And what I begin to do is put the car in reverse a little bit and back up enough. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? To not just to see the physical manifestations of things that have changed, but the state of my spirit and how it has changed in this process. So when I ask you to tell me what you've accomplished, I don't want to just hear stuff. Because people want to talk stuff, because stuff is when you talk stuff, you get the respect of other people. Oh, we can't have that conversation? See, you don't get oohs and ahs when you say, well, you know, in spirit, I've changed and my expectation is bigger and I'm really seeing. No, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, and God blessed me with a car. And I got, oh, yes, yes. Yeah, well, you can mess around and lose that car. You know, I call all the time. I've seen a lot of people in the church immensely blessed. Until I found out that it was a visa blessing. They got their credit right, and God blessed their credit, and then they just cursed themselves by running themselves into a ton of debt. But the church is looking at them thinking they're prosperous. You don't own that house. You and Bank of America own that house, and Bank of America owns it more than you. But we're looking at it going, oh, God is blessing them. Really? Well, I had a chance to speak to some blessed people recently. I don't want to be blessed like them. They got way more money than me. They got way more stuff than me. And they're fighting with every ounce of their life to keep it. And they can have that blessing. I don't want it. I don't want the blessing that you got to juggle every month to see if you're going to keep that nice house and the pool and jacuzzi and everything over your head. I don't want it. I don't want it. You can have that. Your house is four times the size of mine. And you don't know if you're going to have it in the next 3 months. I don't want it. I don't want it. You trying to figure out what you got to sell or what you got to not sell or how hard you got to work just to keep up the appearance of that blessing and all those new clothes you just bought on credit based on what you thought God was going to do that he didn't tell you he was going to do, and you went out and you did all that designer shopping. Or somebody need to talk to me right now so that the people around you can say, oh, you is blessed. But you don't see him crying himself to sleep at night. As I said, I take slow and steady any day. For the sake of appearances? Nah, pass. So you can get up in church and tell your story about how blessed you are? Pass. Pass. So I'm looking at the state of a blessed spirit, not just financial things. I can point to every person in this room, literally, and tell you how I've seen you accomplish and change in this past, since the beginning of this year. Every person in this room. I can tell you where you're still struggling. If you're bold enough to ask me, I'll tell you. I can tell you those of you still struggling in your pride and still caught up in your church image more so than you need to be. Oh, I can tell you. I'm looking straight ahead at the wall so nobody don't think I'm talking to you. I'm speaking to the smoke detector right now. And the smoke detector's nodding. It knows. I can tell you where you're stuck. I can tell you where your foot's still in the noose. I can tell you, but you're not going to ask me because you don't want to know. Because you're still caught up in the way you look to people. I'd rather not accomplish ever on the outside and get it all together on the inside until God's time comes. Because I did it the other way. It's short-lived. What good is it to see in the manifestations of the blessings and the move of God only to turn around in 3 and 4 months and it's gone? I haven't had any major explosive blessings in my life in the past maybe 5 years, 6 years. But man, the consistent blessings have been just so nice. Just consistently flowing in. Every time I look in that pot of meal, it may not be full, but there's a little bit more than it was before, and I keep feeding my family and your family and some other people's families and still got enough. And know that when I die, I leave something for my kids and grandkids. Amen. Now, what's more important? So the funny thing is somebody came to me yesterday at my granddaughter's party who haven't seen me in a decade, and he says to me, "So, what are you driving?" And I pointed to the minivan. And he said, "I wasn't expecting that." He said, "I wasn't expecting that." He said, he was just blown away. He's like, "I wasn't expecting that." He expected I was going to point to, you know, a Maybach or something. I said, "No, the Chrysler." Wow. I said, some things are more important to me than that stuff. He said, "You still have the MDX?" I said, "Yep. Bought it in 2003. Still driving it. I will drive it till the engine lays down on the sidewalk and says, 'I quit.'" Yeah. Why? Because I've done the new car thing. And people say, "Ooh and ah, the first month." And then it's just your problem. Nobody says, "Ooh, praise the Lord, I'm going to come and move it every morning from one side to the other in New York so you don't get a ticket." Nobody says that. Nobody comes and cleans it for you. Nobody says, "Oh, the maintenance and stuff? Oh, praise the Lord, I got that. Don't you worry. For the rest of your life, I'm going to take care of that for you." So if you did it so they could say, "Ooh," you got the "ooh," and now you got all the responsibilities all by yourself. I'm off the subject. Let me get back to the subject. The process of your achievement is in you still protecting your seed. You have to always go back to what was spoken, what you're planning to accomplish, and then what's the process that God is developing in you to reach that place of destination for yourself. So I want you to just take a moment inside yourself and think about the beginning of the year, when you heard the word accomplishment, after you sought God out, if you did, you may have just came off on your own and said, "Well, I'm going to accomplish this," which I did in the situation. I said, "Well, I'm going to accomplish this." And God's like, "Are you asking me or are you telling me?" You never had that conversation? Nobody but me? Yeah. God, and God will say, "Okay," you know, and God will leave you alone with it too. You're like, "Okay. Okay." Sooner or later, you're going to come back and ask me why it's not working. And he'll say, "Because I never said it was going to." You said that. And you thought because you was excited about it, I had to agree. Are y'all looking at me too silly right now? I'm not talking about you. Oh, okay. Don't try to act silly. I know what I'm doing. He said, yeah. So let's go back to what was spoken. Word of year of accomplishment. What did you set out to accomplish? Which is not bad, even if you went crazy. That's okay. God is so cool, he even works with that. He works with you going crazy. Does that make sense? Yes. Now, let me say it again. God works with you going crazy. Yes. He said, "We're going to accomplish." And you say, "Oh, I'm going to the moon." God is good with that. He says, "Okay, I don't have a problem with you wanting to go to the moon. But then I need to do something in this period to get you moon ready." Amen. I got to get you moon ready. Right. No, I spoke the word and moon tomorrow. No. There's a process now. So what I want to know is, yeah, if you've had some manifestation of things, I want to hear about them. Absolutely. That's a blessing. But I also want to know the spiritual and emotional and maturity process that God has walked you through and is walking you through right now to prepare you for when he sits that dream on you or that vision on you, can you carry it? Will you be crushed under it? Or can you stand with it? People always misquote the Bible and say God won't give you more than you can stand, which is not scripturally accurate. He says he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, which is a big difference. Just changing words means everything. But here's what you got to understand. We've used that for so long in the negative sense. We use that to talk about trials and issues and problems. But it also means blessings. He's not going to bless you with something that you can't carry. And those of you who have seen a move of God in our desperation, we've seen God show his mercy and just open up a door. That it could have been, could have nobody done it but him. And then that door opened. And then we couldn't carry it. We got smashed underneath it. Or apparently for a moment. Or we don't know how to handle it right and we finagle ourselves right out of it and we lose it. Or we try to make it our permanent stop and God never planned for you to make it a permanent stop. He meant for you to come in it, learn what you're supposed to learn, gather the information you were supposed to gather, and move on to the next thing. I won't go into deep detail, but there was a network marketing thing last year that somebody asked me to get involved in. And they were selling it like hot, you know, like this, oh, this is the next new wave of things. Everybody that I spoke to, I said, it's not a wave. You can make some money if you do it right, but it's not a wave. It's going to come, and it's going to probably be a good year, and if we work it right for this year, we're going to make some money, and we're going to get out. It's very clear with everybody, am I right? This is not the new thing. But the plan is nice. If you want to do it, let's get in. Let's do what we need to do. Let's get money. Let's get out. People got in, they didn't do it. I made money, by the way, 10 times what I put in. I'm real happy. Well, not 10 times, 5 times, which is still. And I really didn't even put nothing in, so think about that. So here's my point. I've learned in my life to not turn anything into, whoo, this is the thing. It's a thing. And even when you get to the place of accomplishment or the destination, God will have the next thing already lined up. So the thing that is the thing today becomes a thing as you go for the next thing. So, with that said, I want to know what you've accomplished or what God has accomplished in you. You don't have to say it now. But if it's coming to you, stop making your own notes. You absolutely have my permission. Pull out your phone, your notebook, whatever, and start jotting stuff down. Start putting it together. And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask for the handheld. And Jerrica's going to come and share what God has showed her. Amen? Amen. Amen. You don't have to stand behind the pulpit unless you just want to. It's up to you.
Hello. How's it going? Good. In terms of accomplishment, I really had to think about it because I was looking at what I wanted to accomplish, and that might, not to say it's not God, what he wants to do, but it may not have been his timing of things, but it was a lot more, like you said, the process that had to happen prior to things that I would like to do. For starters, I think more so the insides of me changed. I would say, like, I'm more, my heart has changed in terms of like dealing with people. I'm more conscious about my heart when I speak. Now, before I would just speak or say whatever, but now I'm more so, I think before, like how would I say, how would it affect you, or and sometimes I overthink, and I'm like, just start going crazy in the head. I'm like, you know what, I need to chill out right now. But I've had a lot of, I know this is the year of accomplishment, but I would say for me, it's been a year of transformation, because I've become who I needed to become. And thinking about January, I can't even like go back that far because so much has happened, good things, but on an emotional level, on a physical level, on a mental level, and I think it was a lot. It was tough.
Don't put the list down. That list is a good list.
I was going to start the list. But I would say, like, for me, like, me stepping out, you know, I moved into, like, an amazing apartment. Like, if you come, like, when you guys drop me off, like, if you come by my apartment, like, it's pretty doggone dope. It really is. And I can't even lie about it, you know. You know, you were there. It's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful place. But, you know, and I say that because since I moved to New York back in 2011, I've always had to, you know, sublet. I've always had to, like, stay in somebody's place for the last 7 years. 7 years! You know, and, you know, coming to New York, pursuing my dreams that I believe God put in me, but moving into my own place. I work at an amazing company. I work at Tiffany's. What I do, I produce the campaigns that you see in the windows, you know. Like all of that, everything that you see, I'm the one that's building those out in my studio by hand. And corresponding to our vendors in China, always, you know, this is my daily work. And it's a lot of fun. Like, and I can say that I love my job. Like, I love what I do.
But you didn't have that either then.
Yes, I did not have it then. But I do now. I've been there since May. But I'm quieter now. Instead of, like, running my mouth. Not that I would run my mouth, but I'm quieter. Like, I have a quieter spirit.
Yes.
You know, before I used to, like, but now I'm just, hi, okay. And it's nothing personal, it's just, that's all I got for you right now. And that's okay. I don't have to project myself. I don't have to put on a cape to, you know, make myself known, to make myself, you know, present, you know, before people. One thing I've changed and I've learned to trust God and something that what he says to me is fine. And that's enough. Like, for example, as something you all may know that, you know, I'm a model. And Fashion Week was back in September. And God had put on my heart to reach out to this casting director. And I kind of stalled a bit about it because I'm like, you know what, let me just, you know, make sure to do my research on her first or whatever. But the command was to do this. Email her. I had all the information. Just emailed her. And I did it, and God got on to me about it, and I had to repent because he was like, you're going to miss your opportunity. And I was like, okay. I went ahead and did it. And sure enough, the next day, she was like, hey, we're having a casting for Fashion Week. Come to it. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is crazy. And it's from a very well-known brand. Like, you know, they get a lot of publicity, everything. Everybody knows about them. It's called Chromat. And so I said, okay, I went to the casting. I got there, but it was like a cattle call. Like, it was hundreds of girls. Mind you, like, I work on 23rd, and this casting was like only two stops from my job. Praise God. So I went on my break. I was like, God, you're going to have to work this out. I got to do the 9-to-5? Fine, but you're going to have to give me this favor for me to get out when I need to get out. So I did, but it was too long. I had to go back to my job. Like, my first priority is my job. Yes, I want a model, but I went back. And then they said I can come back. And I said, so I reached out to Ruth and Pastor. I said, can you please pray for favor that I can still come back and do this casting? Because I'm like, it's a great opportunity. But, like, normally these castings, they come and go. They see so many girls. It's a wrap. And so then I got off of work at 5. I ran back to the casting. And they were like, no, it's closed. We're not doing it anymore. And I'm like, what? Like, you told me I can come back. But I came back, and they said, fine, you can do it, you can do it. And so they allowed me to walk for them, you know, I had to put on a bathing suit and all of that. But long story short, I didn't make the cut. I didn't make the show. But I say this because God told me to do something. No, I didn't book the show, but I got in, you know, and that counts. And so even so, it just shows to me, like, you know what, now I know that I can hear him, and I know what he says is enough, whether I book the show or not. So later on down in life or whatever, he may say, maybe some bum on the street, and he may say, go to him and, you know, give him your apple. And I know that it may be for a reason. Who knows? It could be, he could be just a casting director for, I don't know, Louis Vuitton. Like, I'm like, oh, I just get to do it off of an apple. Like, you know, but just stuff like that. You know, it's simple things. It's simple. It's not like you said, the prize that you see that, but it's just simple stuff. I've accomplished a lot. I've changed. I've transformed. You know, I'm kinder. You know, I'm more considerate, more understanding. And, yeah, the big things will happen, but I think this is enough. I think this is, and it's a lot. And I think a lot has happened, like I said, good things. But in order to go to the next level, you do have to transform. You do have to change mentally, physically, emotionally. Like, I started seeing a therapist because it was hard to deal with trying to, like, all of these changes. Like, once I got here, I wanted to stay here. But he's like, keep moving. And I have to keep moving and keep changing until I've become, and I'm going to continue to change and to continue to grow, but you just can't be the person to go to the moon. You got to do the process to get to the moon. But one main thing, I'll just say this at the end, that I've accomplished, I've had to let go of a poverty mindset. So, like, all of these blessings that God has been blessing me, I'm just touching on a little bit, I still had that mentality. Even as of last week, until I had to make a decision and said, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm done, because what, God could bless me, I get a contract with IMG for $10 million, and I'll still be sitting here trying to budget, I'm spending $5 on this, $250 on this, $320, like, I'll still be doing, and not to say budgeting is bad, it's good, but that poverty mindset will keep you low when you're trying to go high. God had to work with me, because it's been a battle, majority of my problem has been because of that, even with all of the blessings. So, and it's been preventing me from seeing and being able to revel in all of the blessings, because I've been, that mindset, that stronghold was still on me, and I had to let it go October. So, yeah, that's, I hope it helps, but yeah. Okay.
That's like a fountain. Just umping up a fountain, and just so much stuff wants to come out. No, you know, and I can, you know, and I know you've changed personally a lot, inwardly, and that was the growth spread. It was like, no, it's not that God's not moving; it's that we're not sensitive to hear or see His move because we're too caught up in our own opinion of things. See, if you have a let's stay here mentality, you're not going to move into what God has blessed you. And the blessings of God sits on things. Are you listening to me? As an anointing. If you think I'm making it up, I'll give you scripture to back it up. He said, when he sent Israel out, there was a cloud that they followed by day and a pillar of fire by night. And when that pillar stopped or that cloud stopped, they could rest there. They could make a home there. They could set up camp. But once that cloud began to move or that thing began to go forward, they had to pack up their provisions and get moving with this thing. Basically, God was teaching them to follow the Holy Spirit and not be caught up in, oh, this is great, let's stay here. Oh, this is a nice house. This is a nice camping ground. Let's stay here. No. So, but it also, if you think about it, it creates another mentality. And then we're going to go back into the verses, but it creates another mentality. Let me see if you can guess what it is without me just straight telling you. If you got a cloud that you have to follow by day and a pillar of fire by night, which is God's representation of His Spirit that you have to follow, what does that mean about your life? What is the statement that makes about your life? Let me see if I can make it a little easy for you. What perception does that give you about your life? Yes, dear. Say what? You're on assignment. I'll take that. Let's keep going with that. Keep building. Let God lead you. That's good. All those are facts. I'm going to look for something else. You got a purpose is also right. I'm looking for something else. Say it again. You're always changing. We're getting there. Yes, you're always changing. That's all. Everything you guys are saying is correct. I'm trying to get you into a mindset. You got to trust God. All that's real. Say it again.
Motion.
Speak up. Explain it. Motion. Well, no, there's times he told him to stop, though. He said, when the cloud stops, you stop. When the cloud moves, you got to go. What's he saying? What's the statement on your condition of mind and spirit and heart that he's trying to promote here? Surrender is true, too.
Obedience
is also true. Let me give you some hints. Yes, Esther. We're getting closer. The timing. Timing is very important here. That should help you bring it home. Okay, so cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. When it stops, you stops. When it moves, you prepare your provisions and you move. That season for everything. Oh, everything you're saying is right. I'm trying to make you not be spiritual and give me the human logic. Yes. That's right, so right, but still not it. Preparation is right, still not it. That's true, just do it. Growth mindset, keep moving. You're starting to be redundant now, but it's the truth. You give up? Good.
Be adaptable
is correct. Huh? God moves, you move. All that's correct. Nothing anybody said is wrong. Here's what you keep missing. The simplest of simple. I think you're trying to be deep. You don't stay anywhere that God stops you with a mindset of staying. You unpack lightly. You live like you're living out of a hotel room. Everything, are you listening? What he's saying, if he's saying to you the cloud could move any day without warning, then you don't get down there and start laying out all your stuff and making home. See, we're trying to be too deep, right? But everything you said was right. I heard Charles Stanley say this, not Charles Stanley, Charles, I forgot this guy's name. Swindell, thank you. Chuck Swindell. He said, you wear the garments of this world loosely. So if God needs you to drop them, you can just drop. Don't lace them up tight. Just throw them over your shoulders because you may need to drop them. That message is clearly saying, I need you to be, like all the stuff you said, able to move when I move. Well, you can't do that if you set up permanent camp. You can't. You have to always, every blessing of God, even as Jericho's talking about, and I got this job here, and she was talking to me not too long ago, she was really concerned about, well, now this is in the way of me doing this, and I'm feeling frustrated. I said, honey, it's not in the way. Leave that alone for a while. That'll be there. You're there to learn something. And if you're so concerned about it, the job taking your time, you're not going to find out what you're supposed to learn on that job so that when you leave there, you can do what you need to do over here. There's a lesson that you're supposed to be learning here so that when you move to the next place, you can take it. Don't try to get frustrated now with the job like it's stopping you from your vision. It's absolutely not. I remember when you were crying, you didn't have a job. Now you have one, now you're crying that your job's in your way. That's a trick of the devil. Don't play that game. Why are you there? So everything I do, every business I get into, I've learned to say, God, how long am I in this? And what's the ultimate goal and when am I leaving? And those who work close with me, you see me get in relationship with people, and I say, God told me we're going to be with them for 3 months. Oh, no, but they can make this happen. They can do this, and they got these connections. 3 months, and we're out. I don't care what connections they could bring later. God told me 3 months. 3 months, I'm out. Right when everything looks great and everybody's thinking I should be staying, I'm out. And those people would like act like they was going to help me and do all these great things. Well, my best friends immediately turned to bitter enemies because I left. Well, I'm none personal with you. I appreciate everything you've done, but I got to go. It's not personal. I got to go. I can't be what God needs me to be doing what you tell me to do. I got to go. So everything in this development process is preparing you to go somewhere. The message keep going around, coming back to the same place today. That's not home. It's a home. Me and Esther was talking, I won't go into details, and I said to Esther, Esther, decide how far you want to go. And when you reach that point, stop. Are you good here? You want to stay here? She said, no. I said, then you got some more climbing to do. And you got to shed some people. And it's just the reality of things, that everything that's around you continues to change. Watch this. And for people of habit like we are, we don't like change. And we definitely don't like change that puts us in a place of things that we don't know and are not comfortable with. I move on now. Back to Psalms 25. And I'm going to pick up. I'm not going to go over the old stuff. I'm going to pick up from Lord, show me your ways, verse 4. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior, my Deliverer. And my hope is in you all the day long. So as I ended last week, I said, this is coming from a man now who's not a novice. This is coming from a man who has done mighty feats in the hands of the Lord. This is coming from a man who God has called, a man after his own heart and used greatly. A man that God pinpointed out of everybody in Israel to be his king. Walked with God. Fought battles with God. Now he's in the place where he's saying, God, teach me your ways. He's coming to the realization that with all of the accomplishments that we've had together, I still somewhere don't know your ways. Can anybody bear witness? Can anybody say, yes, I know what you mean? Okay. So then he goes on to say, remember, Lord, your great love, your great mercy and love. For they who are from old. So he's remembering God. He's reminding God of all the good he's done in the past. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. This is a point, this is a stopping point, and maybe this might be what all we cover today. But now we're coming down to a point. Let me hold on to this. I might not want to put this down. Now we're coming down to a point. And I want you to make sure you get this point, and maybe I'll stop at this point, because this is a very important point. So we're talking about who right now? Who's writing this? We know David's story and his history, yes? And now David is started by saying, I put my trust in you. He's acknowledging where he trusts God, but he's coming to the realization that his seat of appetite is not totally in God. Then he goes on and says, no one who puts their hope in you be ashamed. And then he goes on saying, show me your ways. Then he goes back to say, remember, Lord, your great mercy and your love, for they are from of old. They've always been there. You've always been this kind of God. But then he makes the point of points. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. Why is this important? According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Why is this point, this one verse, so powerful? Why is this statement, after everything that has been said before that, so meaningful? Why? Just think about it. He's saying, God, I know and I'm acknowledging that I haven't always done right by you. You see this, right? He's acknowledging. How many of you can say, honestly, show of hands, I know I haven't always done right by God? How many say, I know I ain't really done right by God sometime recently? You understand what I'm saying? So he's acknowledging something that church folk avoid, and you'll hear me preach all the time. Well, the Lord has his ways, and the Lord in his wisdom, and all in God's timing. And these are all diversion scriptures to keep us from acknowledging that maybe it's according to our own rebellious ways and the sins of my youth coming back and showing himself in me. And there's actions and stuff that I'm still committing that are sins of my youth. He's not talking about, don't remember the sins of my youth, sins that I committed when I was young. He's talking about the stuff that before I knew you, that you delivered me from, that I found myself back in that. The sins of my youth. So we want to have this conversation, I'm guessing. Okay, so he's saying, Father, I acknowledge that some of my arrogance, some of my pride, some of my willfulness, my rebellion from young has interplayed into your leading in my life. Oh, can we have a conversation for real? And so he's saying, God, I'm acknowledging it and I'm accepting it and I'm asking you to judge me, not according to that, but according to your love and your mercy, because you're good. He's making this impassioned plea that I think is one of the best things I've seen in the Bible in terms of accountability. This is why I say that God, with all of his flaws and flaws, calls David a man after his heart. Because this man is quick to acknowledge when he's wrong. And I've seen it throughout the word where these men of God are so busy trying to perform their duties in front of the people that they forget the God who they're performing the duties for. He's acknowledging there are things in me that I should be free from, or thought I was free from, that are still showing themselves to me. I'm old enough to know better, but I'm not acting like it. So please show me mercy and don't judge me according to that. Judge me according to your love, because you are good. And for that statement, he's saying, because you are good and I am not. That's what he's saying. Judge me according to your goodness and tender mercy, because you are good and I am not. And if you judge me according to me, I'm screwed. I am submitting this to you today in the message of protecting the seed, because in the process of growing in the things of God, Jericho stood up here and talked about how her heart had to be changed, how her pride had to be brought down, how she had to be stopped being so mouthy. And so all these things she's talking about, and yes, you have changed drastically in the past year. And I the hardest fights me and Jericho had, and God put her in a situation where there was no escape. She had to live under my roof. So she was just like, for hours and hours. And she stood up here one time, if you remember, saying she felt like she was being beat up by a sumo wrestler. I didn't like the fat person reference, but I get the point, right? So And I'm saying, you know, this, but I kept saying, the greatness is not in your conversation. It's in the core of who you are in your spirit. And to get her to begin to get to the place where she acknowledged, I am arrogant. And I need to address where this arrogance is coming from so that God can help me be a real person. This is what David is doing here. This is what I try to push you to do. Nelly, you felt the same way, just constantly knocked around and beat up. Were you the sumo wrestler remark? Oh, it's Nelly. Sorry, Jericho. Yeah, you made the sumo wrestler remark. Okay, well, she said things very similar, but yes. Now, here's my point. But in that, you get to step back and get a projection of yourself. You get to step back and go, okay, so maybe I'm so busy trying to tell God how great I am. I don't need to have this part of the conversation? Because you know when we get upset with God, we start telling God how good we are. You know when we prayed for it and it didn't happen the way we thought, we start to tell God, but I'm a good Christian, I pay my tithes, and I do this, and I come to church, and what else do you want for me? I'm doing all I can do. What else do you want? See, David figured something else out. He said, don't judge me according to that. Judge me according to your kindness and your ways, because if you start counting up mine, I'm in a lot of trouble here. See, this is the state and the place of being in the things of God that I had to learn some years ago. I'm never confident enough to get before God and tell God how good I am and start to enumerate to God what a good Christian I've been. Oh, it got quiet. Ooh, it got stoic up in this piece. I'm very careful not to get before God and try to remind him how many tithes I paid. And God said, remember when you had no money so you couldn't pay no tithes? Now you talking about it now like somehow you're blessing me? When there was a time that you were uneducated and jobless and there was no tithe to pay because you were making no money? Now you're acting like you're doing me a favor? Let me tell you something about God that's powerful. And I need you to get this, because this is so real. The Bible says God will never upbraid. He will never find fault. If God was ever, for a second, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say to you. For a second, to become me, and you came before me as God, and start talking about how good you are, and I got your whole history, and I start to read off to you just how good you really are, from day to day, moment to moment, thought to thought, attitude to attitude, the stuff you said and the stuff you didn't say. The fact that he is so good that he don't go tit for tat with you and say, oh, so you think you're good, huh? Well, let me tell you about yourself. Remember that lustful thought you had yesterday? Remember that dirty joke that you told? Remember that smart mouth thing you said under your breath to your boss? Remember the time I told you to go here and you hesitated for 15 minutes before you did it? You know that unforgiveness that you still carry toward that person, that you act like you forgive them in your conversation, but I know in your heart you have. You want to talk? That's why when his spirit appeared, the scripture said, and whenever in the Old Testament you saw it, and you would do the same thing today if God was to appear right here in the middle of this room, you will fall on your face, the scripture said, as dead men. You would immediately be saved. God, go away. I'm not worthy. Don't look at me. Oh, my goodness. Please turn around. Just go. Because you would be immediately aware of how vile and how filthy in your flesh you really are. But we want to get up against God and bring our points. I was so good, I don't know why this didn't happen. Well, you really now. If I could be God just for a minute, boy, I have some conversations with some people. Thank God for his mercy that he does not do that. Listen, even in the book of Job, when everything went wrong and Job got before God from chapters, I think, 21 to like 35 and enumerated how good he was and what a holy and righteous man he is and how he don't see how God can let this happen to him. There's none more righteous than me. I feed the poor. When I come into town, people fall at my feet. Okay, now I know why you got in your situation. You got full of yourself. Now, hold up. So he gets there and God speaks out of the cloud. And watch this. God even then did not enumerate his shortcomings. God still didn't blast him. He could have blasted his behind to pieces. God didn't. God just said to them, where were you when I created this? And where were you when I created this? But I want you to notice that God never pointed at him and said, you filthy, vile creature, how dare you? Let me point out five sins that you created in the past week. He never did. He never said, you don't even have the blood of the Messiah over you yet. Apart from you sacrificing animals, you're not even worthy to talk to me. You don't even have a right to have a conversation with me. You are of a sin nature, a fallen creature, and should be cast into hell by default. How dare you bring up a conversation with me? He didn't even point out his flaws, his shortcomings. He didn't call him evil. He didn't point out one negative thing about him. He just said, well, so tell me where were you when I created this? And where was I when I did this? And where was you in the skies? And where were you when I put the water? If you can talk to me, he still didn't show him his evil. And he never will. And he won't do it to you. So if you tell me, well, the Lord told me I was sinful and this sin was in my life, I'm going to tell you right away, you're lying. That's the devil. That's not God. Because God will tell you, repent and stop doing this. It'll check you. But God will never sit down with you and enumerate your sins one by one and tell you why your sins are holding you back. Because the truth of the matter is, if he did that, then he would be saying the blood of Jesus is nullified and it's a lie. He'll tell you where you need to repent, and he'll tell you where you need to correct and go forward. But he will never sit down with you and point out sins one by one like that. He will not do that. So when I would see pastors get up on the pulpit, and some of your hand is fornicating, and you know you ain't living right, huh? And God would never do that. I will never do that. If you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, me preaching it ain't going to change nothing. I'm going to tell you what you can do to get better. I'm not going to sit here and keep telling you where all your evils are. So this David right here at this point, he comes to this realization. And this is the thing I begin to see about him through studying this that opened my mind. David was quick to repent. Whenever God called him, David didn't try to offer up justification. He didn't try to keep up his holy image in front of the people. Remember when David did what he did with Uriah's wife? Remember? What did he do? Huh? He committed adultery with his wife, and then when he found out she was pregnant, he had Uriah killed to just cover one sin with another. When God confronted David, David stripped down the sackcloth and ashes in the middle of the street and laid there for everybody to see. Everybody. He didn't try to say, well, you know, I could keep up my Christian image, you know, because I got service on Sunday, so I'm not going to let anybody know. No, he laid out before God and man. He didn't care. He wanted to repent and he wanted to be free. And he didn't try to cover it up and he didn't try to lie about it and he didn't try to put his best Christian face forward and he didn't ask all the board of trustees and the deacons to surround him and protect him from his child molestations and all the other stuff that we hear going on in the game, right? And everybody, and now, well, we got to go meet with the panel and send letters to the hierarchy and see if they're going to vote him out or not. No, he didn't wait for any of that. He laid down. And God never stripped him of his title because he laid down. Men did. They did. His own son got involved with a coup to have him stripped and removed. Absalom. But God never removed him because he was repentant. How do you protect your seed in this part of the message? When you know you're wrong and you know you're in sin and you've been called on it, don't try to justify with excuses and don't try to worry about what people's images are of you. You have one concern and one concern only, how God sees it. And if you do that, Let's end it right here. He says, do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For God, you are good. Immediate acknowledgement. Immediately accepting that, God, I'm out of your will. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I am more concerned with being right with you. Judge me according to your goodness. I'm not coming here making any plea about what a good Christian I am and how I've tried to be good and follow your ways and I've done the best I can, Lord. All of those statements are ways that you're trying to say to God that somehow you feel worthy of something that you are absolutely not worthy of. Just repent. No buts, no ifs. In other words, don't say to God, I'm sorry if I've offended you. Which is what a lot of prayers are. I'm sorry you took it that way. That's not an apology. You're apologizing for me being me. You're not apologizing for what you did. Just repent. Just repent. God, I'm vile. You know that. That's why you sent Christ to die for me. According to your tender mercy, judge me. Guide me, correct me by your Spirit. I have no complaint. I throw myself at the mercy of the court. And I ask you to save me. Amen. Amen. Amen.